Max Lucado tells the story of a park that was near his home when he was growing up. It's one of those old-fashioned parks, the way they used to be, with monkey bars and seesaws and merry-go-rounds and all those things that are not safe for children to ride on anymore. But he said his favorite thing in that park was the swings. He said those were swings that, when you're a little boy, seemed as though they reached all the way up to the sky. The honest truth is they were probably 15 or 16 feet tall with those long chains that dangled and that canvas strap that made the seat. He said, I loved those swings. I loved to go to the park with my father. And he would push me on those swings, and he said he would push me higher and higher and higher till I thought I was going to reach the sun itself. Sometimes, he said, he would take that, and as I went by, he would spin me, so I would be going round and round, up and down, and I loved it. Except, he said, in those times when my father stepped aside and somebody else started to push me, and all of a sudden, somebody I didn't know very well was the one who was pushing me way too high. And somebody I didn't even know was trying to twist me around. And it was the most terrifying thing in my life. I could not stand for anybody else to push me on those swings. As long as my dad was doing it, it was great. But if anybody else did it, it was the most terrifying place in the world. Max goes on to say that most of us know about terrifying times in our lives. Unexpected storms, difficulties we never saw coming, heartbreak that can sometimes seem unbearable. Some of the things we go through come and go. Some seem to go on and they have no end. Then he asked this question. He said, so how in the world do you find your way through life's terrifying trials? And this is what he said. He said, usually, whether you make it or not, all depends upon who is pushing your swing. If it is the Lord, then you trust Him, whatever may come. But if it's anybody else, they're just not sufficient to the task. The Lord has made a commitment to you and to me and to all of us, and it is that He is absolutely faithful. You can depend upon Him. He will be there for you. Whatever you trust into His hands is something that is secure. David understood that. David understood, King David understood what it meant to go through all of the trials that life can bring your way. Most of his life, he was facing one challenge or another, one obstacle or another, one time of failure or success, but often terrifying experiences. Challenges that came from the world around him, whether it was the lion or the bear or the giant, or the enemy that always seemed to be just outside the borders, or challenges to the faith within him. Those times when he knew God was the only one he had to trust. Can you imagine with King David how many times in his life he must have been sure he was in over his head, that he was not going to be sufficient for the challenge in front of him, that he would never escape the failure within him, that God could never use him once he had made mistakes in his life, and yet God continued to be faithful. And through it all, he learned a crucial lesson. You can trust the Lord. You can trust your God. The 37th Psalm that we read together a few moments ago is both a testimony of what God had done, an assurance of what God is doing, and confidence of what God had yet to do. Essentially, what David said in the 37th Psalm is this: you can trust God because no matter what comes, He's going to be there for you. You can put the whole weight of your life on the Lord, and if you do, He will prove Himself sufficient. You can trust the Lord. So here's my question for you this morning. In the most challenging times of your life, do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's pushing your swing? Do you trust Him when things get hard? Do you trust Him when you disagree with what He's doing? Do you trust Him when you can't understand what's going on? Do you trust Him when the challenge seems to be too great? This may be the hardest question of all. Do you say you trust Him when the honest truth is you really trust yourself? Do you say you're depending upon Him when the truth is it's your own sufficiency that you're depending on? See, God's message to us today is His promise, you can trust Me. You can trust Me because if you depend upon yourself, if you depend upon somebody else, if you depend upon circumstances, then sooner or later they're going to overwhelm you. There's only one person you can trust. He is the Lord. So I want us to talk together a few moments this morning about what it means to trust, to really trust the Lord. There's a basic question that we need to ask ourselves from the beginning, and it is simply this: what is biblical trust? When you talk about trusting the Lord, what is it you're describing anyway? What does it really mean to say you trust the Lord? You know, different people have different ideas of what it means when they say, well, I'll just trust the Lord with that. Some people think of it as blind optimism. You know, I don't know what's going on right now, but I know this. The Lord's going to work everything out, and it's going to turn out exactly the way I want it to be. Because all God really wants me to do is be happy, and God will do whatever it takes to make me happy. So I'm going to trust Him that I won't have to struggle, that I will never fear, that I'll never feel insufficient, because after all, God's going to give me exactly what I want. Some people believe that trusting God means facing life passively. I'll just sit back and let God handle it. I don't have to try. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to strive. God will handle everything. And some people believe trusting the Lord means never asking questions or struggling with what's going on in your life. That there's never a time when you wonder what on earth God is up to and why He's letting you experience things and why you have to be in this point of real dependence on Him. When you look at Scripture, you find out none of those attitudes are consistent with what the Bible says about trust. When you look at Scripture, you find that the people who trusted God were always stepping out, always taking action, always trusting Him, always overcoming obstacles. They were actively trusting God with their lives. Let me share with you my own definition of biblical trust. Trust is moving forward with confidence because of your commitment to follow the Lord. Moving forward with confidence, not based on unthinking hope, but on faith in your Heavenly Father. I believe that biblical trust means that I can move out actively in my life. I can move out actively in the midst of storms. I can move out actively when I'm facing challenges because of this. Not because I'm sufficient, not because everything seems to work the way I want it to, not because I understand it all, but this is what I know. I can trust the Lord. He's going to be there for me. He's going to take care of me. I can depend upon Him. I can take Him at His word. You trust the Lord in so many ways. You trust His character. Trusting the Lord is not so much about what He does as who He is. If I say to myself, I will trust the Lord as long as things are going my way, then you're not going to get very far. But if you say, I will trust the Lord because this is what I know. He loves me. He loved me. He loves me. He's going to love me. There's never a moment in my life when He's not going to be there. I trust His character because God has made a commitment to me. You trust His call. If God gives you a challenge, He will equip you to accomplish it. Sometimes God will cause you to step out into the unknown, and you don't know why He's doing that, but He does. And one of the things you know is this, and if He's called me into the midst of this, then He will work through me to accomplish His divine purpose. You trust His concern. You know you can cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Because Jesus Himself said, God knows every hair on your head. And He cares about who you are. And you trust His compassion. You're sure that your name is on His mind. Your needs are on His heart. At its core, trust is about walking in a personal relationship with Jesus and knowing His trustworthiness will never fail. And so He says, you can trust me. Trust who I am. Trust what I do. Trust how much I care about you. There's another incredible psalm that can be found in Bible, Psalm 136. It's a story about the absolute faithfulness of God. And if you read Psalm 136, you'll discover that it is an exploration of all the ways that God has revealed how much He cares. About all the times He stepped in to rescue His people. About all of the times that He revealed Himself just when people needed Him most. It really is a phenomenal hymn of faith. But here's the amazing thing about Psalm 136, is that it says the same phrase over and over and over. It will describe difficulties that people face, challenges that God placed before them, obstacles that they had to overcome. And then it says this, for the mercy of God endures forever. 26 times. And that psalm, for the mercy of God endures forever. The Lord has promised, I will always be there for you. Knowing that you trust Him, you can trust God and step out in faith. Trust will always cause you to step out and take a chance. Here's the truth. It is impossible to trust God and stay where you are. Trusting God is not just a state of being that you mention. Yeah, we'll just trust God. We'll just trust God, and we'll sit right here and see what He's going to do. If you trust God, then you step out and face the unknown with courage, even in the midst of challenge. And in the depth of fear. In the 19th century, Charles Blondin was world famous as an aerialist. Back in the 1850s, he made a huge reputation walking a tight wire in all kinds of places between skyscrapers and across gorges that were found. But he really made his reputation on June the 30th, 1859, when he made this declaration, I am going to walk a cable across Niagara Falls. I will begin on the United States side, and I will walk across to the Canadian side, and I will do it with nothing to protect me. If I fall, I fall. He worked with a team of engineers who dragged that cable underneath the water and across the top of Niagara Falls and then secured it on the other side. 25,000 people showed up to watch Blondin walk a tightrope across Niagara Falls. Of that 25,000 people, probably 24,999 thought he would fall to his death before he reached the other side. stepped on the cable, he began to make his way slowly across the falls. Nothing but a wooden pole to help him keep his balance. It took 25 minutes until he stepped on the Canadian side. People were astounded. They were even more astounded when he sat down for a few minutes, had a drink of water, turned around, began to make his way back. 25 minutes, an hour, hanging over those magnificent falls. But he made it. It was astounding. It was so astounding that a couple of weeks later, he did it again on the 4th of July. And then he made the announcement he would make this trip one more time 2 weeks later. But this time he said, I'm going to walk across the falls, and as I walk across the falls, instead of having a balance pole, I'm going to push a wheelbarrow. And he put that wheelbarrow on the cable, and he began to walk. A couple of times it would wobble, and he would think, this is it, they'd think, this is it, he's going to fall. But he made it all the way across. What an uproar. Thousands and thousands of people could not believe he had done it. And then he stopped the crowd and he asked a question. He said, and how many of you believe I can go back across these falls pushing this wheelbarrow with somebody sitting in the wheelbarrow itself? Well, by this time, there was no doubt. And they roared out, we know you can. We know you can. We know you can. And then he asked that fateful question, and who will be that person? And then he made his way back alone. What would you have done? I know what I would have done. I would have looked at the ground up in the sky, would have waited to hear what somebody else was going to do. But I know for sure I wouldn't get in that wheelbarrow. And yet there are times in your life when the Lord calls on you to step out and trust Him no matter what. You can't tell the Lord, I trust you, and then say, unless. Trust is more than believing Christ is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. It is living as though that promise is true. Sometimes trust will cause you to be like Abraham, who trusted God's promise without knowing even what God was up to. All God said was, leave home and follow me. And he spent a lifetime following God's call. Sometimes trust will cause you to be a person like Moses, who trusted the Lord to help him accomplish the impossible and set his people free. Sometimes trust will be like that of the apostles, who left everything behind because they heard Jesus call, follow me. This is what they all had in common. Trust led them to step out and follow God's plan for their lives. And here's the thing. Sometimes you have to step out and follow before you know what he's up to. In fact, he often doesn't reveal himself until you've made the commitment. Will you follow where I lead? That doesn't mean you're never free to ask questions, display fear, express doubt. It doesn't mean that you follow the Lord and you never have any hesitation whatsoever. In fact, I'll be honest with you, if you're serious about following where he leads and if you decide, I'll jump in that wheelbarrow and go with you, Lord, there are going to be some times when you think, what have I done? I didn't realize it would turn out this way. This is scary. The Bible's honest when it tells the stories of Abraham and Moses and even those apostles. There were times when they revealed their fears and they asked questions and they weren't sure what to do. And there were times when it was hard. Even Jesus prayed in the garden, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." In other words, even when you trust Him, it's okay to ask questions. Trust is not the absence of struggle. It is struggling, but following anyway. Why didn't he put that on the PowerPoint? But isn't that good to know? Trust is not the absence of struggle. It is struggling, but following anyway. In fact, sometimes the deepest trust is found by those who may not understand, but they step out and they follow. And that's why following the Lord calls for constant trust. Every now and then we encounter circumstances or challenges or opportunities or decisions, and we say to ourselves and to one another something like this: "Well, I guess we're going to need to trust the Lord about that. Got a decision to make, I'm going to have to trust the Lord about that. Facing a challenge, I'm going to have to trust the Lord in the midst of this," as though the rest of the time we don't really have to trust the Lord. But the truth is, once you begin to trust Him, He expects you to keep on following Him. He expects you to keep on trusting. I'm not saying there are not exceptional times when you need to step back and say, "You know, in this situation, I'm just going to have to trust the Lord." No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is this: and in between those times, trust Him then too. The Bible calls trusting God on a constant basis faith. Faith is trust in action. Let me tell you something about faith. Faith is hard work. It is making the practical decision, "Jesus is going to be Lord in every circumstance of my life," and then following up on it. Means trusting God when things are easy and trusting God when things are hard. Faith means believing the Lord is in charge, period. And if the Lord is in charge, then whatever He leads me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I think of the faith of Gideon, who reduced his army from 30,000 to 300 because he trusted God for victory. I think of Job in the midst of his suffering, who said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Faith means you've settled the issue of lordship, and every day is an opportunity to find out what that means. Now that Jesus is Lord, He makes the calls. He gives direction. He shows the way. I will trust Him. Because a trust that works is committed to Him for a lifetime. That's why David declared, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." When David said, "Commit your way to the Lord," that word "way" is a word that means wherever you go, whatever you do. It means you trust God as you walk on the earth. A trust that works believes God made me, God saved me, God loves me, and God will carry me all the way home. Real trust doesn't mean you place your confidence in circumstances or people or yourself. Real trust can only be placed in Jesus, who loved you and gave Himself for you, who said He would never leave you or forsake you, who told you that in this world you will have troubles, but you can trust Him because He's overcome the world. But most of all, when you say, "I trust the Lord," you need to hear His promise. Isaiah 49:16. You can trust him because your name is written on the palm of his hand. He knows who you are. He knows what's happening in your life. He cares about you. You can depend upon him. And here's the thing. And there is nobody, nobody that is as trustworthy as God. When I trust him, I'm not taking a chance. When I trust him, I'm not risking that he might keep his promises. When I trust him, I am believing what he has already assured me of, that he is absolutely trustworthy. He is for me. He is for you. That's why the most important expression of trust is salvation. Salvation is when we say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't do this without you. Nobody else's answers work. You alone can forgive me and give me eternal life and guide me every step of the way till I finally make it home. So I guess my question this morning is, are you here today and you have never trusted the Savior? Oh, you believe in him. You even believe about him. But you have never personally trusted him to save you. If that's you today, then before you leave, you really need to settle that issue and ask Christ to give you a whole new life through your faith in him. And in a minute when we sing our invitation hymn, if you would like to trust him, you just slip up your hand. And I'll be looking and our staff will be looking and we'll find you and we'll talk to you and help you come to know Christ as your Savior. Maybe God's calling you to another decision. Maybe he's calling you to be part of this fellowship. Maybe he has placed a special call on your life, and there's a place where you've been holding back from trusting him, and today it's time for you to say in your heart of hearts, Lord, you show me what to do. You guide. You're in control. I trust you. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As God speaks, you respond. See time go by as we continue carefully step forward and trying to regain what's going to be normal. I have no idea what normal is going to look like except it's where the Lord is leading us. And I'm excited that we're going to make that journey together. Let's bow together for a final prayer and then our last song as we dismiss. Father, we just want to pray that you will guide us as we trust you and walk with you, that, Lord, your presence will be very real in our midst, and we will depend upon you. Lord, thank you that we can trust in the Lord, not in ourselves, not in our circumstances, and not in the people around us. We trust you, and you are faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.